Romans chapter 6. For those of you who are in the teen group, I didn't think you guys were going to be here tonight, but decided at the last minute to come on over tonight, which was great. I'm excited. But this was a message that I preached actually at camp a few months ago, so if you were there, you might be hearing this again, but that's okay, you need it again. I preached on freedom at camp, and it went along great with this week being Independence Day. Have an opportunity to teach to you tonight on this lesson on freedom. Romans chapter 6 is really all about freedom in Christ. And you know, if you look back at when the Declaration of Independence was signed, you had 13 young colonies, and they had no idea what was going to happen in the future. They just knew that they wanted to take a stand, and they said, we want to be independent from Great Britain, so we're signing this document that says we are, starting today, we are independent. But guess what? That didn't take care of all the issues that were going to come over the next several years. It still took a lot of fighting, a lot of bloodshed, a lot of lives were lost in order to earn that freedom that our country wanted so badly. After our surprise victory over Great Britain, America became known as a beacon of freedom around the world. We talked about that earlier, Dad. People from all over the world have flocked to our nation, the United States of America, where a person could be free to worship their God and raise their family in the way that they best saw fit. Word spread quickly that you could find freedom in America. In America, you can find freedom. Men, women, and their families did everything they could just to get here because they knew as long as we could get in America, we could also find freedom. Well, what a blessing it is to have that freedom, as we've said over and over again. But I have news for you. There's a dictator, there's a tyrant that's much more evil and much more cruel than any nation, much more than Great Britain, that wants to hold you in bondage today, and that's Satan. A dictator is Satan. And Satan wants to put many men and women, into bondage as many as he possibly can. And for many years, Satan probably thought he was winning at that. He probably thought he was succeeding at that. But at humanity's darkest hour, when we desperately needed a beacon of hope, beacon of freedom, Jesus Christ was born in the little town of Bethlehem. Amen. He lived a perfect, sinless life and then gave that life up on the cross so that he could purchase our freedom. Just like the forefathers had to give their lives for us to have the freedom that we enjoy, Christ had to give his life. Now, the Declaration of Independence told the world that in America, you can find physical freedom. But in the Bible, it tells us that in Christ, you can find spiritual freedom. In Christ is where freedom is found. What do you mean, Clint? What are you talking about when you say spiritual freedom? What did Christ die for to set us free from? Well, in Romans chapter 6, I'd like to look at three things that Christ wants to set everyone free from. It's our choice whether or not we'll accept the freedom that he's purchased for us through his blood. But in Romans chapter 6, I can easily, probably more, but we'll see at least three things that Christ wants to set each and every one of us free from. And number one is this. In Christ, you can find freedom from the punishment of the law. In Christ, you can find freedom from the punishment of the law. Paul talks a lot about the law in the book of Romans. Now, we're not talking about the governmental law here. We're not talking about the laws that we have here in the United States of America. We're talking about God's laws. The Ten Commandments are part of his law. Most of us know the Ten Commandments. We don't usually know the other 600 or so laws that God gave. But we do know those, at least. Can anybody name any of the Ten Commandments for me? Anybody here? So what? Thou shalt not steal. I heard that one. Anymore? I'm gonna write some of these down. Actually, go ahead. See how many you can get, huh? What'd you say? Habit. Thou shalt not covet. Yes. I'm like, thou shalt not have a habit. Well, if it's an addictive habit. thou shalt not steal. I'm just gonna write covet. Okay. Honor. I'm gonna write honor parents. Except. No gods before me. Okay, good. Okay, good. Love your neighbor as yourself. No gods before me. How about lying? Was that one of them? So not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I'm going to write that one on this piece of paper. Well, God gave all these laws to us. And you say, well, why did he do that for? Why did he give these laws to the nation of Israel? Well, here's the reason why. The law was meant to show us that we were not righteous. The law was meant to help us readily see that we don't match up to God's righteousness. We don't meet up to his standard. If you would look with me at Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, We'll go to Romans chapter 6 in just a moment. But let's turn back a couple pages to Romans chapter 3. And let's look at verse number 23. It says, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. But why? Why do we come short of God's glory? How do we know that we come short of God's glory? Well, the law tells us so. Look at verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become what before God? Guilty before God. You see, the law was not meant to make us righteous. The law was meant to show us that we're not righteous. The law was meant to show us that we're guilty. You see, it's one thing to know in your conscience, you know, I don't really think I'm as good as God. You should know that. I'm not as pure as God. But if, in case you didn't know for sure, in case you thought you might have been able to reach God's level of holiness, God gave us these laws. Said, now, have you ever stolen anything? Raise your hand if you have. Have you ever coveted somebody else's things? Raise your hand if you have. Maybe you didn't steal it, but you coveted it. How many of you have ever disobeyed your parents or any other authority in your life? How many of you have ever put anything ahead of God? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever lied? Raise your hand. Okay, so now we look at these commandments that God gave us in the law, and every mouth, the Bible says in that verse, is stopped. We have no plea to go before the Lord and say we're righteous in and of our own deeds. That's what the next verse says. Look at that. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You're not going to be justified by your good deeds. For by the law is the what of sin? Knowledge of sin. See, I've used this illustration many times before with the kids. The law is a mirror. The law is just meant to show you, I got a problem. Like if you eat, like my dad, and you eat brownies, and you always get chocolate on your face whenever you eat brownies. Well, guess what? You go into the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you say, oh, wow, I have a problem. I have chocolate on my face. Now, I hope you don't use the mirror to try to clean your face. It's not meant for that purpose. You use a rag for that or a towel, right? The mirror is not meant to clean your face. It's just to show you have a problem on your face. And it's in the law. Come on up here, Caleb. The law is a mirror, so to speak, for our heart. We look at the law and we realize, man, when I look at all these commandments that God has given that I'm supposed to be following, now I realize, put it on you, now I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm looking in this mirror, I have a problem. But I'm not going to try to use these laws to take away my sin. They're just there to show me I have sin. That's what it's there for. And the punishment of breaking these laws, the Bible says, is death. Go to our text now, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. Romans 6, verse 23. We all know this verse. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. As long as you're trying to win eternal life by doing good things, by following the Bible or following the laws or just having enough good works, you're fighting a losing battle. It's like somebody who's sitting on death row trying to clean up as many, mop up the floors as best as he can inside the prison. It's not going to change the fact your end is death. Your end is death because of what you've done, because of breaking God's laws. And that's not a very good thing. It's not very positive, but that's the truth. The punishment of the law, of breaking the law, is death. But praise the Lord, we don't have to suffer that punishment. Christ came to set us free from that punishment. Now, if you would look in our passage at verse number 14. What a wonderful verse. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but you are under what? Grace. Praise the Lord. You can't work for your salvation, but you can be saved by God's grace, God says. You can be saved by my grace. Can't work for it, but by my grace you can be saved by what Christ did for you on the cross. Why? Jesus took the punishment of the law that you deserved. Go back to Romans chapter 3 and let's see that. The next couple of verses after the verses that we just read in Romans chapter 3 have some just amazing meaning for our lives. In verse number 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law, I can be righteous without following the law, is manifested being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, how can I do it? It's even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And then there's that verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you want to be freed from that punishment, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ. if you would, go over to chapter 7 now. Romans chapter 7. I mean, Romans a lot. Romans chapter 7, verse number 4. It says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the what? Law." How? By the body of Christ. "That you should be married to another." You are married to the law, like Caleb is right now. Go everywhere you went, it was with you. That punishment of the law, the guiltiness of the law was with you. You're married to it. But he says, when you trust in Christ, you become dead to the law so you can be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. "That we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, by the motions of sins which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto" what? "Death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Now, if you would, turn over to Colossians, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Turn over to Colossians chapter number 2. Clayton, come on up. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 14. When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, I'll give you a couple more seconds to get there. Colossians 2, 14 says this. "Blotting out," talking about Christ, "he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." Here's the handwriting. My handwriting's not as good as my wife's or my mom's, but here's the handwriting. These are the laws that God has given to us. There's more. But it was written by God's hand, put on those tablets of stone given to Moses, and you could look at them and you could see, like that mirror, man, I'm a sinner. I do not deserve eternal life. I deserve death. That handwriting of ordinances was against us. But look, he blotted them out, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. And what's the next few words? Nailing it to his cross. Christ said, "I'll take those." Put your hands out, Clayton. "I'll take those. I'll nail it to my cross right there. When I died on the cross, I took the law that was against you, and I took the punishment of death upon myself, and I took it away, nailed it to my cross, and it's never going to have to bother you again." Praise the Lord for Christ, right? Give him a round of applause. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us on the cross. Thanks, guys. You can find freedom from the punishment of the law. You can. Before you can ever serve Christ, you have to find freedom from the punishment of the law. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, well, guess what? You don't have that hope. You don't have the hope of freedom from your sin, from the law. It's still the ball and chain keeping you from eternal life, keeping you short of God's glory. Put your faith in Jesus today. But if you have, that brings us to our second point. In Christ, you can find freedom from the punishment of the law. But number two, you can also find freedom from the power of sin. In Christ, you can find freedom from the power of sin. You say, that sounds pretty similar, Clint. Go back to our text, if you would, Romans chapter 6. Say, Clint, that sounds kind of similar. Well, yeah, it does, but you can find freedom from the punishment of something, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have freedom from the influence of that problem in your life. Let me give you an example. Someone might get caught drinking and driving, get a DUI, and the judge, if he or she chooses, might decide to give that person a second chance, not revoke that person's license, say, hey, I'm going to not give you the punishment that you do deserve, but I'm going to give you another chance. So now I'm free from the punishment that I deserve. But Brother Shannon, that doesn't necessarily mean that person's free from the problem, right? That drinking problem is still going to be there. And the influence of that alcohol is still going to be pulling on that person's life. You know, you can have freedom from the punishment of sin, the punishment that we deserve by breaking the law. But guess what? It's a day-by-day choice to rest in Christ and to choose the freedom from the power of sin that he's given to us each and every day. You can be free from the punishment of sin, but still live in bondage to sin on a daily basis. And I believe there's many of us in here that are like that. Whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be pornography, whether it be anger, whether it be unforgiveness, laziness, language problems. Unforgiveness, as I said, is a big one. Ungodly entertainment choices, whatever those strongholds might be in our lives. For some of you, you've tried to stop several times. Over and over again, you try to stop. But you go back to your old habits again and again and again until you've finally gotten to the point that you say, you know, I just can't stop. It's impossible. Well, that's a lie from Satan. If Christ is living inside of you, you have the power. You have the power to say no to temptation. If you have freedom from the punishment of sin, you also have freedom from the power of sin. The Bible teaches that when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become dead to sin, just like you're dead to the law. Go to Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse number 2. This is good stuff. Let's start in verse number 1, actually. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are, what's the next word? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now let's look at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now look at verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And look at this. That henceforth, in other words, from now on, we should not serve sin. You don't have to serve sin anymore. While sin may have had a serious hold on you before salvation, hey, there's no excuses for being in bondage to it anymore. Being in bondage to sin. You have been saved from that. Look at verse number 11. He says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to, again, he says, to be dead indeed unto sin, but you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the key verse. Let's read this verse together. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, don't let it reign you anymore. You have a new king. You have a new king in your life. It's been replaced. You're not married to sin anymore. You're dead to sin. You don't have to obey it in the lust thereof anymore. You've been given the power. If you feel that you're in bondage to sin, it's just that. It's a feeling. You're suffering from a lack of understanding of your true identity in Christ. We'll talk about that more in our last point. Well, why does Satan want you to be in bondage to sin after you're saved? Well, because he knows as long as you're wrapped up in the bondage of your sin, you're going to be useless in God's word, doing God's work. As long as you're so focused on, man, I cannot get victory over this issue in my life, that's going to be your focus. Instead of your focus being sharing the gospel of Christ with others, being a godly husband, a godly wife, a mother, a brother, a sister, being a co-worker who shares the gospel of Christ, you're not going to be able to focus on that. Focus on that problem that you can't get victory over. Satan wants you in bondage to that so that the focus will be on the wrong thing. But the Bible makes it clear, you can't serve two things at the same time. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hate, hold to the one and despise the other. That's what Jesus said. You can't serve two. Serve one or the other. That's what Paul's saying. You can serve Christ. You don't have to serve your sin anymore. You have the power to do it. Are you living in bondage to sin? You don't have to. You're free. But you know what? It really comes down to whether or not you begin living that way because of the knowledge that you have of your freedom. Back in the Civil War era, I love this. Many slave owners, the Emancipation Proclamation came out. Slaves were officially freed. They were free. Positionally, they were free. They could have walked right off those plantations then. They had freedom. But many of the plantation owners, they made their living off these guys. And so they wanted, as much as they could, as long as they could, they wanted the knowledge of that freedom to be kept from their slaves. Because as long as they didn't know they were free, they weren't going to go anywhere. So for as long as they could, they tried to keep that news from them. If I can even get 6 months to a year more out of these guys, it was worth it to them. And then eventually people would find out, man, a year ago I could have been out of here. A year ago I could have been done with this. It's the same way with our issues in our life that are strongholds. Jesus has already given us the freedom. It's already here. It's already found in his word, right here. But people are still living like they're in bondage. It's not an issue with Christ not giving us the freedom. It's the issue of us not understanding his word, claiming it, and obeying it by faith. People just don't understand, man. When I was freed from the punishment of sin, I was also freed from the power of sin if I choose to be. That's why Paul emphasizes it so much in Romans. Look at verse number 18. I mean, he just hammers it. He's like, you're going to get this. He says, being then made free from what? Sin. You became the servants of righteousness. I mean, how many times has he said that? Look at verse 22. Says it again. but now being made free from what? Sin. Do you guys get it that you're free from sin? And you become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness. In the end, everlasting life. In Christ, you can find freedom from the punishment of the law. In Christ, you can find freedom from the power of sin. But number three, in Christ, you can find freedom from your past identity. From your past identity. Go to verse number four with me again. We've read it before, but let's read it again. Verse number four of Romans chapter 6 says this, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. I like that newness word. You have a new life in Christ. The Bible says that our spirit, who we were before, spiritually we died and we were raised up new in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In 2 Corinthians 5, God describes those who accept Christ as their Savior. He describes us as new creatures. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, man. It's gone. Behold, all things are become new. Too many Christians, we just don't understand this. We're tied to our past. Who I've always been is who I'll always be, we think. But Christ says, no. You didn't just get a new paint job. You got a new engine on the inside. You're brand new. I think many times we think we just got a nice coat of paint. Like a car that is, you know, is just completely destroyed on the inside, but it gets a good coat of paint and it looks better. But it, from the inside out, it's completely just as useless as it was before. God didn't do that with us. He just didn't make us look better. He made something completely new out of us. We are a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This will be our last passage we'll turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. One book over. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It says this, know ye not, in other words, don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. How many of you would fall in that list somewhere, have broken one of those? I've done that. I've done almost the whole list, I think. And he says, and such, I love the next word, and such were some of you. Let's read that again. And such were some of you. That was what you used to be, but that's not who you are anymore. You are washed, he says. You are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. Let me tell you something right now. Maybe you used to be an ungodly father who didn't. Hey, maybe you've done some things wrong in the relationship with your kids. Well, I'm just a bad dad. No. In Christ, you can change. He's created you a new creature. You're not the same as you've always been. You can be new. Oh, I'm just a drunkard. No, maybe you used to be. But now, in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. You're a saint. Oh, I'm just this or I'm just that. I'm just a negative person. Well, Christ isn't. So let him live through you. You're not letting Christ live through you if you're living that way. Well, I've just had things done to me that I can't forgive. Well, that's kind of weird because Christ has forgiven us for everything in our life that we've done. You see, we have strongholds in our life that eventually after time, we just let them go because we just say, that's just who I am. That's just my identity. No, that was your past identity. It's not who you are in Christ. Such were some of you. If you have a problem in your life that you have been struggling with, maybe it's because you've been struggling in your own power and not through the power of Jesus Christ in your life. You're not going to find freedom in, I'm not going to find freedom in Clint. You're not going to find freedom in yourself. It's only going to be in Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't want you to know any of this stuff that we're talking about here. Have you seen how sly he is? Like those guys I told you about who didn't want the slaves to know what had happened with the Emancipation Proclamation. Satan doesn't want us to know we're free. He wants us to keep living in bondage each and every day. Even when he loses the control to someone, he still tries to convince the person that they're not free. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies. You'll never, ever be able to effectively serve Christ until you choose to accept the freedom that he's offering you. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Hey, listen, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, he's offering you freedom from the punishment of the law. The law, that the punishment that you deserve, he says, "I took it for you on the cross. I nailed it to the cross with me. You can receive eternal life because of what I've done, because of my grace." Well, if you have been saved, but you've been allowing certain sins to control your life, Christ has given you the power to be set free from those. I'm just telling you, he has. And finally, maybe you just have been dealing with an identity crisis, really. And you've just been dealing with identifying with your old man instead of the new man that you are in Jesus Christ. And you're living like you haven't been made new in Christ Jesus. Well, you know what? You need to understand that you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. You're new. Everything about you is new. Freedom is a wonderful thing. Amen, Brother Shannon? Freedom is a wonderful thing. But are you still suffering in bondage today? If so, why don't you choose to let go of whatever still has a hold on your life through Christ? You can be free. Bow your heads and close your eyes for prayer, if you would. Father, thank you so much for giving your life for us on the cross so that we could be free. Lord, we're thankful for our forefathers giving their lives for us so that we could be free here in America, have the freedom that we enjoy here. But they couldn't get us spiritual freedom. Nothing they could do about that. They couldn't buy us freedom from the things we were talking about today, Lord, the freedom of the punishment of the law being taken away, the freedom of the power of sin being overcome, the freedom of knowing that we don't have to be tied to our past identity. Only Jesus Christ could give us freedom from these things. We're thankful that you loved us enough, Lord, to come and give your life for us so that we could be free. Father, I pray that I would live with an understanding of this freedom, that every one of us would live with an understanding day by day of the freedom we have in Christ, and not just believe the old lies Satan's trying to sell us on. Pray these things in your precious name.